Hi, I'm Mark. I'm an alcoholic. And thank you, Amy, for asking me to share here at the meeting. It's always an honor to speak in an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, especially, international one in Ireland, which doesn't make me an international man of mystery, since I'm going to sort of, I guess, reveal myself here. And yeah, thanks, Jimmy and Mark, everybody that puts this meeting on. And yeah, for those that are, checking out the Alcoholics Anonymous meeting for the first time, or, coming to a meeting, at 10 o'clock East Coast time. And yeah, it's funny, Amy is saying all that stuff and I'm petting my cat. And, sometimes they say that, that the cat or animals reflect, how you are, they can pick up on, and I'm looking down at my cat and the cat is just has this look of confusion, just like, who are you? Just looking at me like that. And I'm thinking the same thing, I'm looking down at the cat and I'm listening to Amy and she's like, yeah, 32 years. I'm like, holy crap, who am I? How did I get here? In a Zoom room of Alcoholics Anonymous in Ireland, and I look back down at the cat and it's still looking at me like, what's going on? And that's sort of how it is, each day I have to, this is the eve of my anniversary. Hopefully tomorrow, will be 32 years. So it was 32 years ago. Today was, I was out doing it up, and that's the part that I don't forget, in my share. I have, I totally enjoyed drinking. I loved drinking, and as they say at the drinking is, it's fun. It's fun with problems. Then it's just problems. And, so it was 32 years ago today. It was just problems. It was just problems. And, just a quick go down of that. I was living in Hollywood, in West Hollywood, and I started drinking, I don't know, about 10 o'clock, in 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. I met some friends at a place called Jay Sloan's in West Hollywood, and we drank, and I drank all day. And I was performing. I was doing stand-up comedy. I was, I don't know, probably 3-4 years into it, and things were going pretty good. And I just kept drinking, and a friend of mine opened up a club, and he asked me to perform at it. And it was at the, I don't know, maybe 10 o'clock. It was 9-10 o'clock at night. And I showed up, and I was loaded. I was just gone. And, I did my little skit, and it was, good at the beginning. And then it, it just sort of turned. It just turned. And I did some stuff. There was a movie, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, was being filmed, and there was an actor, Vic Morrow, who had died on the set. A helicopter decapitated him, and I don't know, I just remember doing an impression of that by using the mic stand and turning it, and I was saying some stuff, and I just remember that mic stand coming really close to the people up front, and it was sort of like, it was sort of funny. And then that came down, and I could just see, the fear of that. And the whole room changed. The whole room changed. And, then they asked me to, there's a red light, they flicked the light on, it's usually gives you a couple minutes to, get off stage. And that light went on, and I was just belligerent. I was like, I was not leaving. And so things just escalated where, they turned the lights off on me. I still wasn't leaving. And You know, the door people came up on stage and escorted me off, and they had a piano there, and I'm banging on the piano, and it was just a scene, and they escorted me out, and they didn't like throw me out. They said, you know, you're done, Mark, go home. And I tripped and fell and sort of rolled into the gutter, and I just had one eye out like this, and I look up in the other eye, and it's just that little wallow of crap and garbage and shit that runs in a gutter, you know, on you know, this was on Hollywood Boulevard, and I was like, and I look up, and you know, there's a line of people, you know, getting ready to go into the next show after this show let out, and it was just the storm of you know, humiliation and self-loathing, and the light went out right there. The light went out, you know, because at that point right there, it affected my career, my dreams, everything that I had. It hit me really hard there. And I went home and I sat on the couch for a couple days, and I couldn't do anything. And I didn't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, 3 months later, a friend of mine asked me to go to a meeting. And I was like, what meeting? She goes, oh, it's an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. And she was dating a prominent actor who was sobering up, who got two DUIs within a 12-hour period by the same cop. So she was going to make sure that the women weren't hitting on him. And I was like, yeah, I'll go. And I went to a meeting, and it was in West Hollywood. It was Artists in Sobriety and on Fairfax and Fountain. And I walked in there, and I was like, I couldn't believe it. You know, it was just, my first feeling was, oh my God, this is, you know, you're not sucking me into your happy hell. I know what's going on here. None of you people are, you're not sober, you know. They were alive, and I was like, I was just overwhelmed by the whole thing. And so I sat through the meeting, and at the end they have they give birthday cakes there, and this guy took a cake for 3 years, and he said he came into the room of Alcoholics Anonymous he didn't know if he was an alcoholic or not, he just had a desire not to drink. And I, you know, my eyes perked up just like that guy was swinging the mic stand with. I went, oh my God, that was me. I had no idea about Alcoholics Anonymous, not drinking, what was going on here, steps. I knew nothing. And, but that guy said he had a desire to stop drinking. And man, I had that desire. excuse me. I had that desire. And I still have that desire today, because that the thought, excuse me, and the visual and the image of me on the ground looking at that crowd and that crowd looking back at me and what I had done hasn't left me. It hasn't left me. And I go to that all the, it's there, you know. I don't think about drinking at all. You know, I just don't. I go to that spot, and you know, and it's just been a I don't really know how to describe it, you know, other than if you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous and you're and you're questioning, you know, if this is you know, for you, or you're going to have to do the steps or any of that other stuff. If you have the strong desire not to drink, this is a great place for you. This is a really good place for you. And as Amy alluded to, you know, it was, I read this stuff. There's things along the year that, or along the years that are just gonna resonate with you when it's time to hear it. You know, there was a, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior was a book that I read early on, and it just had so many, like, I look back now at concepts that are so, you know, like Geez, that's like a common sense go. But I didn't, I had no common sense. You know, common sense was uncommon for me, as they describe in the big book. And they had one there that there are no ordinary moments. And that, for whatever reason, hit me hard, because at the same time, somebody was talking to me about living in the now, being present. And I had no concept of what it was like to be present right now. You know, so I tell myself a lot of times, it's like, I've never been this sober in my whole life today. It's a new day. It's a new moment, because there are no ordinary moments anymore. You know, it's not ordinary, because I've never been this sober before. And so everything is sort of like, you know, I'm attacking. I can go over the same routines and stuff, but even those are different, you know, because my mind is constantly seeing things differently. And that had a big impact on me. And the one where, you know, Amy was talking about, it was, getting married is hard. It's hard work. Getting divorced is hard. You know, getting sober is hard. You know, drinking is hard. It's really hard. But the thing is that life is hard, you know, and I choose life, you know, I choose and living is what I choose, you know, because it's hard, you know. John F. Kennedy made that, you know, we went to the moon, not because it was easy, because it was hard. And that's the whole being, I think, of being alive. Of course, it's not easy. You know, we trudge the road to happy destiny. It's not, we skip the road to happy destiny. You know, there's no gain with no pain. And that's a really hard concept to understand. For me, it was. And so I choose sobriety, you know, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. And I didn't know that, because I had a desire not to drink. I didn't, you know, when you're going through all that stuff at the beginning, it's like, yeah, that was humiliating. I'm just not drinking, you know, and that wears off really quick. And then you're stuck with you. And it's really hard to be honest with yourself, to admit your faults. Everything in that book, you know, is it's really pertained to my psyche that used alcohol to, you know, stop growing, you know, because taking the alcohol was easy, you know, because it was too hard for me to face life without some kind of helper, you know, a hamburger helper or an alcoholic helper, or however you want to see it. And it's challenging, you know, it's 30, coming up on 32 years of sobriety. It's challenging now, you know, with a pandemic, because it's tested me beyond anything that I saw coming or anything. But I look back at stuff and I go, oh my God, all the things that I've done up to this point has led me to be able to get through this. You know, it's, you know, I can't, the timing of everything, you know, I got involved in martial arts when I was 18, and I've still been doing that. And I've learned so much about that, that's brought me in to handle a pandemic. You know, I can be in the basement now on Zoom room training with all my friends across the world, because our organization is across the world. And that allows me to have the physical and the mental and the spiritual to handle a pandemic, you know, because it's, I have to take care of myself, you know, get vitamin D, build my immune system, you know, so that I can fight it off. You know, there's an Indian mystic, Sadhguru, you know, who I enjoy listening to. And he says, whatever it takes to survive, man, whatever it takes to survive. And I use that with Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, it's like whatever it takes not to drink. Whatever it takes not to drink, you know, and there's emotional sobriety. And, you know, we talk about that. I'm going to have off days, and I have off days, man. And the pandemic part will hit me, you know, politically and everything that's going on. And I'm out there, you know. I got a barn with horses, and that's another gift, you know, that I got involved in that like 13, 14 years ago. And my wife and I, we have the horses on our property now. And that all came, you know, it's coming up on 1 year that we had our, as the pandemic hit, you know, so it's all this stuff that it's there right for me to get through the pandemic, because I stayed sober. And it was hard, and I just kept doing it. This pandemic's hard, and I just keep whatever it takes, man, whatever it friggin' takes to get through it and not drink. And that's showing up at these meetings. It's talking to people. And when I'm friggin' out of my mind, you know, and I sobered up in LA, and they had a gentleman, his name's Israel, and he used to always say, "I'm stark raving sober." And I never used to understand that, you know, and I have my days where I am friggin' stark raving sober, you know, because I've never been this sober attacking the world, you know, and I look at it, man, I attack because it's I like the movie Dances with Wolves. And there's a scene in there where he's at his compound and he had just met his Indian friends. And he sort of misses them, you know, and he's sitting around waiting for them to come to him. And he just gets this thing. He just, sitting and waiting is a bad example. So he gets on his horse and he goes rides. And I use that too. It's like, you know, I got to move my feet. Being around and taking it in and not attacking and going off and going, "I'm getting this, man." It's a bad example for me that I put on myself, you know, that I want to go out and do that because it's hard. I don't know why, it's just hard. And, you know, I know my time's running, coming close here. And, I don't know. I'm grateful to be sober. I'm just so grateful to be sober, and everything that I've learned and the people that I've met, you know, it's funny. I've talked and haven't even mentioned, you know, my transformation of believing in a God to, you know, that's where it's came. It's all come down. You know, when people go, "What do you think about God?" I just go, "I don't." And what's your next question? You know, that type, because I spent so much time trying to figure that out and to do this for me. And it just came down. It's like that whole concept was just, you know, irresponsible. You know, I'm 100% responsible for my life. I'm not asking an outside source or anything, you know, to fix this, to do this. I have to move my feet and I have to be responsible. And that is the hardest part and the biggest dose of honesty and responsibility that I've ever had to fathom, is that I'm responsible for it all. I'm responsible for my thoughts. I'm responsible for my actions. I'm responsible for 100% of the things I do, you know, even if somebody comes up and just out of the blue slaps me in my face, you know, I'm responsible for my actions, you know, of that. And, you know, if I let that happen, then I'm like 32 years of wasted karate practice. If I didn't see it coming. So, you know, I don't know where that sort of went off a little tangent, but, you know, seeing people in the Zoom room, you know, always, it just gives me the strength, and because I know how hard it is at every aspect of sobriety, from the first week to 2 years to 1 year to 10 years, you know, all the way down, you know, it's the best thing, because that sort of self-worth, you know, esteemable acts, you know, bring up self-esteem. You know, I have low self-esteem, so I have to do small esteemable acts. You know, Jordan Peterson has a good book out. You know, it's clean your room, you know, because there's no ordinary moments. You know, it's pick up that piece of paper. You know, I used to look at that as that's a shortcoming. You know, I used to I don't have to pick up that paper. That's somebody else's job. No, it's a shortcoming, you know, of mine to think that I don't have to do that. No, just pick up the piece of paper, man. That's all. You know, clean your room and stand straight and get ready to attack the world. I'm grateful to be sober. And Amy, thank you. And the best to us all, man. We just keep trudging the road with a smile. And I'm really grateful. I'm really, really grateful. And with that, I pass.